from KQED.
Welcome back to Forum. I'm Mina Kim. The 2017 Tubbs Fire was the deadliest of the wine country fires as it burned through Santa Rosa, killing 22 people and destroying 5,000 or more homes. Yesterday, CAL FIRE announced the cause of the fire was a private electrical system near a home, not PG&E equipment. So we look at what CAL FIRE's finding means for hundreds of lawsuits against PG&E and for the utility's planned bankruptcy filing. We're joined by Julie Johnson. She's a staff reporter for the Press Democrat, where she covers law enforcement and public safety. Good morning, Julie Johnson.
Good morning.
We're also joined by Dan Brecky. He's an editor and reporter here at KQED News. Good morning, Dan Brecky.
Good morning, Mina.
Well, Dan, I'll start with you. What can you tell us about, in CAL FIRE's words, this private electrical system adjacent to a residential structure that caused the most tragic fire of 2017?
So there is a 10-acre property with a single home just outside Calistoga, about 2 miles outside of town. And investigators have been looking at that since day one. What CAL FIRE did in the sort of the odd work of a fire investigator is they went through and they eliminated all sorts of causes, all sorts of things that might have caused the fire. And then they focused on the one thing they couldn't eliminate, which is this privately maintained power line and some other equipment that they think probably started the fire. Now, the evidence at the scene was so badly burned that they can't come to 100% conclusion on this, but anyway, that's where they focused. And you know, PG&E itself,
this was the story they were also pushing through their own internal investigation.
Well, they pointed to evidence that had come out in depositions, right? This is the subject of massive litigation, and so they had looked into this, and they were pointing to the same privately maintained equipment as the, you know, the potential cause, let's say.
And Julie Johnson, I understand that this privately maintained equipment was on property owned by a 91-year-old woman?
Yeah, and she hasn't really spoken out about this, so we don't know much about it, but she lives elsewhere. She lives in Southern California, and there's a caretaker for the property who is one of the key witnesses in the CAL FIRE report, who told investigators that a telephone pole that was next to the main house had been weakened and by woodpeckers, actually, and he had intended to have it replaced in the spring. So there were some other examples of equipment that was under the purview of the property owner, but seemed to be weakened and not fully maintained.
And maybe some tampering of some kind with the lines. Julie Johnson, this finding by CAL FIRE has been long awaited by people in Sonoma County. They were, for many, I think, hoping to find PG&E responsible for it. How is this news that CAL FIRE is saying it's a private electrical system going over in Santa Rosa in Sonoma County?
This was really difficult for a lot of people to hear, according to the people I spoke with, from officials to residents who lost their homes to people who lost family in the fires. I think everyone... Well, there are a number of reasons. There are a lot of people who have significant insurance gaps between what the payout they can expect and the actual cost of building their new home. But there's also a lot of people who just really want to see changes come out of these fires. And, you know, we saw that locally with, you know, our emergency warning program and how outspoken people were about demanding the county in particular change that. But also, I think this was, many people hoped this would be a way to create a safer power grid. And now the leverage from the Tubbs fire, at least, is just not there. Although for 17 of the other fires, PG&E equipment was determined to have been involved. So that is not a lost cause.
Yeah, so you're It sounds like you're saying that this will have a big effect on their ability to have a better energy grid, but also it sounds like just whether or not they can rebuild if they are underinsured and hoping that some kind of payout would help them cover whatever gap exists. I mean, I've seen recent reports that there's been an exodus in the county and that there have been some numbers or some estimates of what that might be. Do you have a sense of what those numbers are?
You know, my colleague really crunched the numbers, and it's difficult to gauge, and a lot of people, I think, are undecided still about whether to rebuild or move away. But the fires have, you know, I believe the number was in somewhere in the 2,000 range of people who left the county, and that was adjusted for the number of people we came in. There were immigrants who came here. Yeah, the cost of living is really high, and the cost of building is really high. And so there's a lot of policy discussions locally to see, you know, how we can ease up the cost of building new houses and get them in apartments built faster.
Yes, the other thing that makes people think twice about rebuilding is just the trauma of experiencing a fire like this. And Dan, before I open our phone lines, just remind us the effect of the Tubbs Fire.
Well, the Tubbs Fire, you know, as probably most people who were here in October 2017 remember, was one of about 170 fires that broke out during extremely dangerous fire conditions. And the Tubbs Fire started, as we said, near Calistoga. Swept over the Mayacamas Mountains into Santa Rosa in breathtaking fashion. I mean, it was in people's neighborhoods before anybody kind of realized they were even in danger in some cases. And as you know, we're familiar with the statistics: more than 5,000 homes burned and 22 people killed. But I mean, this is something that completely changes forever the way you look at the world around you. And the people in Butte County, in the wake of November's campfire, are experiencing this maybe exponentially more.
And there's a connection to that and whether or not PG&E will file a bankruptcy. Before we get into that, though, let me remind listeners, we're talking with Dan Brecke. He's editor and reporter for KQED News. And Julie Johnson, she's a staff reporter for the Press Democrat, where she covers law enforcement and public safety. We're talking about CAL FIRE's finding that PG&E was not responsible for the Tubbs Fire, which burned over 36,000 acres across Calistoga and Santa Rosa. And we want to know what your reaction is to the finding. Do you think that it is true, because there's some dispute about whether or not that is truly the cause? What are your concerns? Give us a call at 866-733-6786. Again, 866-733-6786. Post your comments on our website, kqed.org/forum. On Facebook, you can tweet us at KQED Forum or email us at forum@kqed.org. Dan Brecke, you have been talking with some of the attorneys who represent fire victims. Tell us what they make of the finding and whether or not they feel this changes the cases for their victims.
Well, this is complicated, and there are several layers to it. So I'll try to go through those quickly. California has a doctrine called inverse condemnation. So if a utility is involved in injuring you, damaging your property, they can be found liable for damages for that injury or damage. And it doesn't matter whether they did anything wrong. They could have been operating everything, exactly the right way under the law and regulation, and they could still be found liable. Now, after this CAL FIRE finding, that may clear up PG&E's potential liability for the inverse condemnation proceeding they're facing, and that has an impact on the amount of money that people might get as a result of these lawsuits. However, as you point out, there's a dispute about whether this is really the last word on what started the fire. Some attorneys are pointing to some PG&E equipment near this home, and they say that there's evidence that fuses blew and maybe dropped hot metal into vegetation that had not been properly cleared by PG&E. And PG&E has admitted it didn't clear the vegetation as it was required to. So that's one layer of this inverse condemnation proceeding. But virtually all of these lawsuits also focus on something else, and that's negligence. And they cite a long history of what they call PG&E negligence and decades worth of incidents, including things like the 2010 San Bruno disaster, in which PG&E has been found to have been negligent or not to have been operating safely. And they're pointing to a couple of things from the October 2017 fires that they think are, that the plaintiffs again think are very relevant. And the main thing is, why didn't PG&E turn off its power grid? That's something that Southern California utilities, or one of them in San Diego County, began doing in 2007. PG&E didn't do it until after the catastrophe in 2017. So that the negligence proceeding will go on. And there's one last thing. California is what's called a contributory negligence state. One of the lawyers I talked to just was telling me about this. And so you can be found kind of negligent and still have to pay a lot in damages. So these lawsuits are very much alive. There's been an amazing amount of discovery and investigation that's gone into them so far. So that page is not turned yet.
But do you agree with what appears to be the prevailing sentiment that at least for fire victims, their cases are going to be harder to win with this finding?
You know, I don't know that. You know, what the lawyers will tell you is that the CAL FIRE finding has a limited application in court. The responsibility for the fire would have to be determined by a judge in any case. And so that's still the case. And so what the future holds, nobody really knows. I'm sure the plaintiff's lawyers would rather have had a finding that PG&E is to blame for this. So their job probably is harder. But without my JD, I don't think I can give any more of an opinion on that.
Well, this listener writes, "This is all corporate gamesmanship designed to privatize the wealth and the heap, the risk onto the taxpayers, literally for the cost of a bailout. The state could buy PG&E. Is there some coordination going on here?
It's striking, though. NPR posted our story on the fire finding on its Facebook page, and the level of cynicism about what's going on is kind of breathtaking, I have to say.
Well, let's hear from our listeners. I'm going to start with Will in Santa Rosa. Hi, Will.
Hi. Thanks very much for taking my call.
Thanks for calling us. What would you like to tell us?
Yeah, I guess, you know, part of it from that last comment, perhaps you can mark me down as one of the cynics on this matter. I lost my home and ran for my life with my family in the Tubbs fire. And I can tell you that really a lot about these findings and other findings are about holding everyone accountable for the fires and sort of future recovery and resiliency and safety of our communities.
Yes.
And I think that PG&E for too long has been dodging those responsibilities, whether that's through this bankruptcy effort to avoid making the needed repairs and needed change in strategy and how they provide safe and efficient energy, or whether it's this de-energization process, which really, again, looks to pass along the responsibility for that safe electric power onto residents. And while certainly de-energization is better than doing nothing, it's a far cry from what they really need to be doing and looking at a very strategic approach that involves a lot of undergrounding and other technologies. I just am really concerned that without a financial implication for their actions, that they have no incentive to move things forward. And I think that these findings certainly don't absolve PG&E. And it's very, very clear that even if it's shown that the ignition source wasn't caused by PG&E equipment, it's very, very clear that they have responsibility associated with the fires. There can be argument on whether that's 50% responsibility or 100% responsibility, But clearly, they are responsible for ignition sources, propagation of the fire, spread of the fire, and we need to keep holding them accountable. Just like at residence, for myself, as I rebuild, I'm going to be responsible for making sure I have a safe home, I have home hardening, I have defensible space, and they have to be responsible for the electric equipment.
Well, I'm sorry about your home. And I just, before I let you go, want to ask you what your emotional reaction was to the finding yesterday from CAL FIRE.
Yeah, my emotional reaction is really one of, you know, just communal responsibility. I think as I take on a responsibility as an individual, I'm working with my neighbors who are all stepping up and pitching in, working with, you know, different agencies and nonprofits to step forward. And our corporate citizens need to do their part, too. And, you know, PG&E has provided some funds to help fix some walls in certain areas. They've inserted themselves on nonprofit boards associated with recovery and resiliency, really to protect their interests. That's really not the type of thing, while helpful and we should appreciate those inputs, really their first priority is the responsibility of the power grid. And they can't build a fence after it's burnt down and say, you know, we've done what we can for recovery and resiliency. They need a strategy, and this de-energization is just a way for them to pass responsibility on to customers. Well, what they're doing is, on days when it's easier for them to provide electrical service, they're doing that. And on the tough days when there are red flag warnings, they're passing that over on to the individual. And it's not the way it should be done.
Well, thank you for that. Julie Johnson, is will sentiment something that you hear quite a bit? I mean, PG&E put out a statement, quote, "Without question, the loss of life, homes, and businesses during these devastating wildfires is heartbreaking, and we remain focused on helping affected communities recover and rebuild. The safety of our customers and the communities we serve is our most important responsibility." Does that go over well? Do residents feel comforted by that, reassured by that? Welcome? That help?
I will say this. Over the last, I would say, 6 months, the number of trucks out on the street in our rural communities, on the rural roads, dutifully trimming tree limbs away from power lines has just been such a signature sight. Everybody's talking about it. if that's you know, the main thing to come out of this for people here, then so be it. But, you know, it's so complex. The emotions for all of us, and I did not lose my home, but for people who just are part of the community, too, it's difficult to face a conclusion that is not simple. But I will add, and this is something your colleague mentioned, is that it's not like CAL FIRE's investigative report is just handed over to the judge and case closed. This is going to be a very complex, you know, litigation involving evidence and testimony and witnesses and experts. And it's not a simple solution to determine liability.
Yes.
And so I think people will see that more as the cases unfold. The first case is to be tried will be the Atlas Fire in Napa County. So that will be, I think, a bit of a bellwether. Yeah.
Yes. Well, one thing we haven't touched on quickly, Dan Brecky, is what the prospects are for PG&E filing for bankruptcy. They said they would do it potentially as early as next week.
Yeah, they said that they could file on or about January 29th, and that's under the provisions of a new state law that they had to give 15 days notice. Based on their statement yesterday that they are still in extreme financial trouble and facing mountains of liability.
Especially from the CAMP FIRE too, right?
Yes, and the CAMP FIRE was a game changer in this whole discussion, because before... listen, they made a quarterly filing 2 days, 3 days before the campfire broke out, where they were talking about sort of a managed response to the liabilities they might face. But in their statement yesterday, it did not sound like they've changed their mind. Now, what has changed outside of PG&E is that there are louder and louder voices questioning why they're doing this, both in the legislature, from investors, and from observers, you know, and experts in the field who look at the company and say, it's not insolvent, these cases aren't decided yet, and so this is premature. So whether those voices, whether
that put any pressure,
we don't know. And everybody's waiting to see what happens on the 29th.
Well, Regina writes, and this is in support of PG&E. She says, for people to hope that PG&E was responsible in order to make changes to the power grid and power sources is just a criminal mentality. To falsely accuse an individual or entity to further selfish interests is just not okay. Diane says PG&E's line maintenance has been negligent for years. They attached a line to a tree at my neighbor's instead of installing a new pole. Just one example. There are many others. It needs to be a public utility again. And James tweets, how many of these privately maintained electrical systems are there in California? Is this common? What are the regulations and enforcement? Dan Brecke, do you have any sense of this?
Well, it's not that unusual, actually. I mean, if you think about it, you know, everyone in our own home, even if you're in an apartment building, there's a privately maintained power system, you know, from the breaker box, you know, where the utility or PG&E drops a line to the property. In this case, I mean, it was a rural property, as I said. It was 10 acres. And so there was more extensive system of lines running power to various facilities on the property. They had a wine cellar that needed power, with a guest house, a pool, a pump, and that kind of thing. So there were lines going out, and they were being maintained in a homemade fashion. And some people have said, well, listen, PG&E is really responsible for making sure all the infrastructure is safe, so maybe they should have been looking at this all along, too.
Well, let's hear from more listeners. Let's go to Sostra in Petaluma. Hi, Sostra.
Hi. I was calling. The last person who called in, Will, was talking about holding everyone accountable. And to that same end, I thought that focusing on PG&E sort of focuses on the end result versus prevention, and it just focuses on the financial fallout. I'm wondering if any of the lawsuits are focused on holding the city accountable for changing the zoning for Fountain Grove and allowing everybody to build up there.
Dan Brecke?
I'm not aware that any lawsuit has been filed citing that as a grounds. And in fact, the cities and counties involved in these fires in 2017 have been filing suit against PG&E, in fact, looking for damages to be paid.
If I might add, PG&E actually filed suit against, I believe it was Sonoma County and maybe Santa Rosa as well. They filed a claim with the county, which is, you know, the first step to filing a lawsuit. And in that was arguing that Sonoma County failed to prepare for such an emergency by not promoting vegetation maintenance, by not having effective warning programs and those type of things.
Yes,
so there's an argument to be made there.
There is. That's certainly been quite well documented. Again, Julie Johnson with the Press Democrat and Dan Brecke with us from KQED. Let me go to Bill in Santa Rosa. Hi, Bill.
Hi. I'm just kind of listening to your program. My home was in the Fountain Grove area of Santa Rosa, and I'm not one of the underinsured because I really do feel it's a person's job to make sure that, just like their car insurance or anything else, is updated every year. And I want to say I made out like a bandit, and so did my neighbors, when it comes to their content of the home. And of course the building cost was up there, but we're covered. And as opposed to a house that's burnt down, a single house, the insurance company will come in there and they will make sure that you have to show receipts and everything. With this, they pretty much just came in. We were insured for indoor content for $1.2 million, and I'm telling you, there was no way in hell we're even close to anything like that. And they cut us a check for $1.2 million. No questions asked.
Well,
it's all my neighbors. And the thing is what I'm saying is we're demonizing PG&E, but this was probably one of the best things that happened to a lot of people, because I know people that eventually took all the money and just moved and retired.
Well, Bill, I'm glad you did well, and so did your neighbors. Julie Johnson, do you think Bill's experience is the exception or the rule?
Well, I'm so happy to hear that for you, Bill. And I'm sure there are people with that experience as well. The more common experience we've heard, and yesterday, Governor Gavin Newsom threw out some numbers of, 200 people extraordinarily underinsured. And I don't know that number to be true, but it sounds kind of low to me. I do know from talking to people just every day here going about life that lots of people are confronting decisions about whether to rebuild, whether they can afford to do that in their rebuild, whether they can, do the types of things they want to do with a new house. And we're also coming up against, this year's going to be really telling because a lot of insurance policies limit temporary housing payments to 2 years. So people are going to have to be making some big decisions. So I think we'll know more as the year unfolds.
Well, I want to end with this listener question to you, Dan. I know many people who lost their homes in the fire. What responsibility does this private property owner hold?
You know, I don't really know, but one significant finding in the CAL FIRE report was they did not find that any state laws were violated. So that, again, this isn't the final word, but that would seem to remove one angle of exposure of liability to the homeowner. It's a single homeowner. The home, I believe, dated back to the 1940s. You know, I'm sure they were insured, but they were insured for their own losses and had limited liability for losses outside their own property. So that's probably not a route of recovery for people.
Well, maybe they didn't violate law, but this listener also pointed out that to live with the knowledge of the devastation they may have caused is also something that I guess can't be put a figure on, essentially.
No.
Well, Dan Brecke of KQED News, our editor and reporter, thanks so much.
You're welcome.
And Julie Johnson, staff reporter for the Press Democrat, thank you for joining us this morning as well.
Thank you.
And thank you to our listeners for sharing your reactions, your own experiences of this fire, and probably what this finding brought back up for you and for your questions and comments. I'm Mina Kim. You're listening to Forum. Stay with us for another hour.
Funds for the production of Forum are provided by the members of KQED Public Radio and the Germanicos Foundation and the Generosity Foundation, and by Jan Schremm and Maria Minetti Schremm, founders of the Minetti Schremm Museum of Art at UC Davis, which preserves the legacy of renowned artists such as Wayne Thiebaud for future innovators by dedicating a third of its space to arts education.